The Holy Spirit, the angel answered and said to her in Luke 1:35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One." Now in the old translations of the King James, Old King James, if you read your Old King James, they put "the Holy Thing." T-H-I-N-G. I'm not making up, it's there. But the New King James is slightly more reverent. I mean, they don't dare to call Jesus a thing. I mean, the thing has come. Doesn't sound very reverent, right? Right? The thing has come. So, the New King James, which I, you know, praise God for those translators, they make it a bit more reverent. The Holy One. I appreciate their great efforts. And whatever other translations are trying to bring out. But here is the Greek. It actually means, it actually is a neuter term. Which was why I can understand the old translators call it a thing. And here they call it one. The Holy One, or the Holy Object. Right? Maybe you get the Holy Object. What was that mystery? See, what happened if in your mind you cannot conceive Jesus coming down? Remember this. The only creation that was made in Mary's womb was perhaps, a one-cell body. A body for Jesus to come and live inside. Jesus was not created, but a house called the physical body was created for him. Mystery is solved in the book of Hebrews, then to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10. So you visualize that here was the Word, God the Father, God the Word, and God the Spirit. Later on, when Jesus Christ comes in the book of Revelations 19, he says his name was the Word. He took back that original name, the Word. He was also called by all the other names of redemption, but that was his original name. He was called the Word. So in Hebrews 10, read carefully, verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, do you notice that? When he came into the world, not when he was created. See, Jesus is not a created being. Only his physical body, or what we call the physical house, was created for his spirit and soul to stay. So what took place in Luke 1 was that the angel said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and will create that Holy One, that Holy Thing, that Holy Object, that Holy Body that has not been inhabited yet. It's going to be a creation in your womb. Whether it's a one cell, 10 cell, or whatever, it's going to be a creation inside Mary's womb. But not the creation of the Spirit of Jesus or the soul of Jesus. And if we want to be definite about chronological order, the creation of that body is there. And almost in that same instant, God, the Word, the second person of the Godhead, took off His majesty, power. In John 17, He says, Jesus was praying for the Father to bring Him back to the glory which He had with Him. Again, showing Jesus pre-existed. So God, the Word, took off three things. His omnipotence, His omnipresence, and His omniscience. The three omnis of God that made Him God. It's called in the Greek by theologians in Philippians 2, the kenosis of Christ. using the Greek word kenoxis, which is used in Philippians 2, how he emptied himself, which is found in Philippians 2. When he came to this earth, he emptied himself. See the word there in Philippians 2. Let's look at the word in Philippians 2. And see the mystery of the virgin birth. Philippians 2, verse 7, it says, verse 6 and 7, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. And then that thing, that body was created, and so Jesus emptied himself of all the glory, all the omnis, and his spirit and soul came into that body that was created for him. So Jesus was never created. Now you understand why Mary can never be called the mother of God, with all due respect. Because God was not created in her. Mary's womb was, strictly speaking, an incubator. An incubator for a creative work in her life. Jesus was not created, only the body of Jesus. Look at Luke, Hebrews 10 again. We haven't finished reading it. Hebrews 10. Verse 5, he says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, that's the second person of the Godhead called the Word, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body. Look at that. Now, that holy thing, or that holy one, or that holy neutral object is called a body. A holy body you have prepared for me. There you have it. When the angel said the power of the Most High will overshadow you, it was a creative act making the physical house for Jesus to live in. Now how old was that object in human terms? Was it a fetus? Was it a few cells? It doesn't matter. Because in the spirit world, physical dimensions are not limitations. Remember in Mark chapter 5, you could have a legion of demons in one fellow. And people are debating what legion is. If a legion is what they think to be a legion of soldiers or the Roman, it would have been 6,000 in number. 6,000 demons in one physical body. And the head of those demons was called a legion. Even if you don't believe there were 6,000, at least there were quite a lot there. So, don't try to mix up the dimension, the spirit dimension and physical dimension. Don't theologize how many demons can stand on one pinhead. If you want to know, the answer is infinity. Because the realm of the spirit is not limited to physical dimensions. So whether that body that was created was one cell, two cell, four cell, eight cell, 16 cell, whatever, it was a physical body which Jesus' spirit came into. So Mary became a vessel of God. She was, strictly speaking, her womb became an incubator for Jesus to come through the world. Now God could have created a new body from sand, like he did in Adam's time. He could have put aside Mary and just make some clay and sand, make the object and make it exactly, and say, Jesus, it's all ready. And Jesus will come and bang, here he comes, 30 years old. That would have frightened everybody. God for some reason chose to do it this way. He used a womb, and you know one reason why? That's why Luke 1-3 is important. God wants to show us. You see, if Jesus had come into a 30-year-old body already made for Him, you know what every one of us will say? Oh yeah, He's that way because He got that special, you know, He never know any childhood. So He's not like us. That's what we guys will say. He don't know what a childhood is. He don't know what suffering as a teenager is. He doesn't know what obedience as a little child to parents is. See that? So God has to make sure that this Jesus is going to live like a human being. He's going to start at that fetal stage, a little cell stage, go right in the womb, hearing all kinds of things happening in the womb, coming out into a filthy, sinful world like an ordinary human being, grow up like an ordinary little child, have to learn his ABC. Living through all the oppression of wrong parental guidance and right parental guidance. Going through all those difficult times of being bullied by his bigger brothers, bigger sisters, or bullying, possibility, potential, he did not do it, but potential of fighting as a little child. He had to go through all those stages so that when he died on the cross, he can say, look, I have been through everything you all could ever imagine as a human being. So God chose that road. But isn't it wonderful to know that Mary can be called blessed? No problem with that. She is called Virgin Mary. No problem with that. But she can never in the Bible be called the Mother of God. If you understand how the virgin birth actually takes place. She is only an instrument, an ordinary human being whom God chose. And what she prophesied was right. Through all generations will call her blessed. No problem. You see, she was still, after Jesus came out from her womb, she was as ordinary as any other human being. She needed to be filled with the Spirit like every one of us. She was there in Acts 2. She had to wait for the Holy Spirit like every one of us. So that's how the birth of Jesus took place. And Luke records that. Miraculous happening. Now, that combination of the human flesh with the spirit and the soul of Jesus coming into that body is going to be given a special name. He shall be called Jesus Christ. He shall be called the Son of God. He shall be called Emmanuel. You see, he took on a new name. He still has his old name, but he took on his new name. Because in a sense, he got a new identity added. He now represented one of us. And in 3 short chapters, Luke gives us the birth and the childhood. There is only one little incident that is recorded. All the other apocryphers are not true. They are not scriptural, not in line with the other scriptures. I know there are stories about Apocrypha, I have read all of them, about Jesus when he was a little boy, he was playing around, make some clay birds and they became real and they fly about. All kinds of stories. To make the story even more amazing. One reason why they didn't put the Apocryphal writings in was because it was not in line with the other scriptures, and the apostolic church and the apostles did not sanction those writings. Every author here has in some way met the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be a first hand witness, not a second hand. That's how we got the canon of the scriptures. So all the others were wrong, because in the Gospel of John it says at the wedding of Cana, it was his first miracle. If that was his first miracle, that means all the apocryphal writings were wrong. Because if Jesus was making those little birds and having them turn into real birds, clay birds turn into real birds, those would have been miracles and healing. The Bible records, strictly speaking, following the flow, there was no miracle until the wedding of Cana. That was his first miracle. See, John gives the other aspect of the personal life of Jesus. That was his first miracle. And you notice it is his first because he was still with his mother.